You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Doric Wilson, pioneer and leader, designing women and curating with pride. It's June, and are we ever proud? Hi, everyone. I'm Sean Chandler, and you're listening to Your Program Is Your Ticket, a discussion of smaller theater works and the people and organizations that make it happen. As New York City's oldest and longest producing LGBTQ plus theater company, The Other Side of Silence, also known as TOSOS, is dedicated to an honest and open exploration of the life experience and cultural sensibility of the LGBTQ plus community, as well as preserving and promoting its literary past in a determined effort to keep its theatrical heritage alive. And I have them here today on this episode of Your Program Is Your Ticket. Now, please keep in mind that our interviews are recorded at different times to optimize schedules, just in case the audio sounds different here and there. I am so excited to have TOSOS as my guests, so let's bring them on. Hi, TOSOS, and welcome to Your Program Is Your Ticket.
Hi!
Hi!
How are you?
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Wow. And I have to say, I'm welcoming back one of the panelists here, so... And he knows who he is, so and he'll tell you all about it.
Sure will.
Let's start by having you introduce yourselves and telling us and our listeners about your involvement with TOSOS. What's your role? What do you do?
Mark? Sure. Great. My name is Mark Finley, and I am the artistic director of The Other Side of Silence, or TOSOS for short. I've been with the organization since its reboot in 2001.
And also, I believe this is the third time that you've been on your program issue ticket. You're almost going to get the jacket. I'm going to have to order a jacket on standby.
Oh, you. Cool. I feel like I should be Pauline. I should be the center square. So. I'm not ready for that. I'm not that funny.
We would have needed a fifth person for that. So, right.
Cool.
Okay. Let's see. Who would like to go next? Aradai?
Okay, fine. I'm Aradai. Aradai Knox. I'm co-curator of the Cheslin Chambers play reading series at TOSOS. I've been at TOSOS for a few months, I think. Like maybe six. And I've mostly been... co-curating with Dennis, finding plays for us to read during the series, finding playwrights that we think are really dope and that we want to highlight, and figuring out how best to uplift queer people and queer people's stories that aren't always uplifted.
Wow, that's a lot of reading. I go on reading committees.
It's so much less reading than like competition. So I think I'm just like, okay, I'm fine.
Cause I'm a script writer as well. And I'm often asked to read on panels and things like that.
Yeah.
And
it's way less than that.
Oh, okay. But I'm sure the time that you don't use to read, you're using to do administrative work and
network. And I think actually me and Dennis have done a really good job of like trying to connect with the people we're trying to uplift, of like trying to really make sure we build relationships with those people or strengthen the relationships we already have. So I actually think the extra time just goes with like really connecting with the people in our community that we're trying to give a spotlight to.
Wow, so important. Okay, one question for you before we move on to
Dennis.
Okay, so did I pronounce your name correctly? I love your name. It's so unique. I said Aradai. Is it Aradai?
It's Aradai.
Aradai.
Aradai and Aradai are the top two. I'm just gonna make a grab for this attempt. So it does not bother me at all.
My name is Sean. It's spelled S-E-A-N. So I've had everybody mispronounce my name throughout my life, starting it, you know, from when I knew my name. So I try to be a little sensitive to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we've established that, Dennis, I assume I'm pronouncing your name correctly, right?
Yes. Although I do get called Denise all the time at Starbucks. So it's not as straightforward as you think of it. Yeah. So I'm Dennis Corsi. I'm a freelance director, and I started working with TOSOS with Aradai as the co-curator. of the Chesley Chambers series or playwriting project. And yeah, we just started earlier this year. This is our first year doing it. Mm-hmm. We did our first reading last month. So her and I are at the beginning of our journey with Tassos.
Wow, cool. That's so great that you're doing that, that you're bringing on, you're looking for a variety of work. You're bringing on, I would assume you're reading newer plays from newer playwrights, right?
So it's both just, actually,
and older plays. Yeah. I think the central driving force for us is like what hasn't been seen, what hasn't been uplifted, what needs to be uplifted in this moment. And so it's less temporally bound and more just like, what stories are we missing in the canon and in development?
And that kind of speaks to what Tassos is about, essentially, which is telling the stories that aren't being told, specifically the LGBTQ plus stories. Yeah. The great thing about what's going on with the world today is that there's a lot more visibility, but Tassos is not really interested in presenting stories that you're going to see on TV or on Broadway, because you have TV and Broadway to do that. We're looking at stuff that's, you know, not being heard, which is essentially what The Other Side of Silence is, the people that aren't being heard.
Wow. I love that. And I have to tell you, the two main, I'm going to call them main stage plays, the main works that you did, well, not last year, obviously, but the season before that, I love both of them. It was A Secret Identity and Bar Dykes. That was your last full season, right?
That was our last full season, yes. Okay. We did Leaving the Blues was our last production, which would have been the first of our last year, but we didn't get to finish. Thank you, COVID. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. And I saw all three of them. My husband was in one of them and in another one, like, what, for one nighter. He was filling in for somebody.
Oh, right, right. I remember.
Thanks to you guys, I was introduced to those three incredible pieces of work. It was like, I've never heard of this before. And then I go in and I'm blown away. I'm like, and that's great. You're making people, well, not making, but kind of making force, I don't know, helping them to find these great scripts and great shows that, you know, because a lot of people, when they think theater, they're thinking of 5% of the theater.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so it takes the blinders off of people. And I really dig that.
Well, and just to speak to what Ardai and Dennis are doing, I also have a pretty narrow focus. And so that's why we took these folks on, and they're amazing because they've got, you know, that times two. They can look in so many more directions than I can. And they've been doing a fantastic job, and I cannot wait to see what happens next. So
now, are you?
No, I won't.
No, in your investigation of finding these new works, what is the percentage of older classic theater that you're leaning to versus newer theater? Is it like a 50-50%? Does one sort of tip the balance a little? What are you finding with that? If you could like give crude percentages to it, it's just something I'm curious about.
Are you asking about the reading series in particular?
Right, the research that you're doing for fun.
I think that we're probably working that out still. And yeah. as we get more of an idea of what Mark, as the artistic director of the company, is interested in, I think we'll start to shift as we go. Mm-hmm. For this year, we were looking at doing, I believe we're doing two plays from past decades and we're doing three new. That's the plan for this year.
That's a good balance.
Absolutely.
That's great. So. Yeah. And, you know, who knows, the following season, it could shift to The Other Side. And
yeah,
but I'm very, very happy to hear about this. I just think it's wonderful, especially, you know, coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has sucked for everybody, but it's also given a lot of people time to create and develop programs like this. You know, it's to research stuff. You just, you know, you go onto the internet, or you find it, or you ask and read and things. It was a good time to do administrative work, right, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Exactly. Okay. Mark.
Yes.
Give us a history of Tassos. Who created it and why? And how has it changed and how has it stayed the same throughout the years?
Okay. Well, Tassos, The Other Side of Silence, was originally started by Doric Wilson. Doric Wilson, if you don't know, was one of the first writers at the Cafe Chino, and arguably one of the first gay playwrights. He started the original company Tassos in the late 70s as New York City's first gay professional theater company. Mm-hmm. At that time, there was still very much a stigma about being appearing in gay material, that you would be assumed to be gay if you were doing something like this. There was not as much, certainly as much gay material out there as there is now. So he started that as New York's first gay company, along the lines of Theater Rhinoceros on the West Coast, etc. In the early 80s, it went on hiatus. I think it was a combination of what was happening with AIDS and what was happening in the theater community and Doric's personal life that sort of put the theater on hold for a while.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Doric went out to L.A., lived there for a while, came back at the end of the 90s. In the early 2000s, Doric met me, and I am such a genius. He decided that he wanted to revive the company with me as artistic director. And at first I said no, because I don't want to be administrative. I want to be a director. I don't want to be a fundraiser. I don't want to be, I want to make plays. I don't want to make meetings. We have found a balance in this. And what I've found the great part about being an artistic director at the level of the reboot of Tassos, which we rebooted as Tassos 2. That was our trademark name. That's what's on our 501c3. It says Tassos 2. We found a balance that we could run, me and Doric and Barry Childs could run this theater and make both of those things happen. What kind of happened through the years, again, we went really far, really fast. We got a lot of attention. We got, we got some awards. But we had Doric, who, was a real dynamo at the fore. And he was legendary in the counterculture. A lot of people knew him, and he was not shy about putting himself and the group forward. He passed away. And at that level, we were sort of like, well, we kept saying, you know, Doric said the company is us, the company is not me. Where do we go from here? So at that point, it kind of teetered, and we would do kind of annual readings of things. Occasionally we would get a production together, but we weren't really chugging along at the same speed. We were losing a little sense of identity, et cetera. Then I met through one of the actors, Michael Zagarski, who essentially we got together to put on a benefit production of Street Theater for Tassos to kind of get us back going again. And that just kind of grew into, well, why don't we put a board together? Why don't we kind of revamp our system and become an actual theater company? Why don't we reach out and see if we can find a space that we can perform in regularly, essentially finding a home. And that's kind of where we're at the theater now. Michael and I kind of jokingly call it Tassos 3, but it's not really. It's really the third iteration of this thing. And here we are some 20 years later, which is, if you look at the shelf life of an off-Broadway company, I was told when I started this project out that 3 years is usually the life. You do really well at the beginning, you chug along, and then after 3 years, it starts to go somewhere else. We didn't really hit the wall until about 15 years, which was good. But now with more organization, with more contacts, with making a concentrated effort to be a theater company and not a theater club, to constantly reach out to people. Hey, can you help us? Do you want to do this? Are you interested in this? We're kind of growing our base more and more. I convinced Doric to drop the 2 from Tassos because I wanted to embrace our heritage. And effectively, that's what we're trying to do with Tassos 3, is not only embrace our heritage, but run up to the future, as well as keeping an active memory of the past. Mm. So that's, in a nutshell, the other side of silence.
Tell me about this quote. If we had a keen vision and feeling of all ordinary human life, we should die of that roar which lies on the other side of silence, by George Eliot of Middlemarch.
Yeah, that's where we get the quote from. Doric tells me that that was brought into one of the original meetings, and we should call it The Other Side of Silence. And it just seemed to fit everybody. To me, The Other Side of Silence is what's happening literally on the other side of silence. These are the lives that you don't know. These are the voices that you've never heard. Therefore, they're silent to you. We are living out loud. We are bringing these stories and these lives to you, because that's what's happening on the other side of your world. There's a book called The Other Side of Silence, which is about, it's a gay history book, which, I'm sure, Doric didn't know about when he named the group, came out several years later. But just in seeing that and having read it, I'm like, well, obviously we're onto something. So, that's what that quote means to me. And rather than just define it, I like to leave it open to interpretation. But what I do like to do is correct people when they say Tassos. I know it looks like Tassos, but I prefer Tassos, because Tassos to me sounds like toes. So.
Tassos.
Tassos. Yes.
That's like
that sounds like a arch support or something. You know, like,
yeah. Tassos. Like it's so for your toe. Tassos, yes. Or so for your toes.
Exactly.
Did I say Tassos?
No. But usually people that are new to us say Tassos. And I never correct anybody. I just kind of say it my way until they kind of catch on that I prefer this.
Wow.
Because there's no wrong way to say it.
Right? Sure there is. It's Tassos. You're not doing plays about arch supports here.
No, we're not. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet, yeah.
We haven't done a drag play in a while. Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Right. So stay tuned.
Basically what Kinky Boots should have been named. I'm gathering from this.
I'm writing that down. Okay. It's going in.
Excellent.
Oh, that's so funny. You guys are making me laugh. That's awesome. I love it. June, and it's June 1st today, is official Pride Month. Talk about the way Tassos is celebrating Pride Month. What are some of your Pride Month traditions, and are you adding anything new to the mix this year?
Well, I tell you what, it's again, just to go to our fearless leader. We would always say, oh, let's do this for Pride. Let's do this for Pride. And Doric would say, it's not smart to try and get a play production up in June because there are too many things going on and you're really fighting for an audience. And he cited when Love, Valor, Compassion gave special ticket prices during Pride, or Angels in America, et cetera. And he said, and their box office actually went down. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't think it's smart because people come to New York to celebrate Pride in different ways than to go to the theater. And I think he's absolutely right. What we have done in the past is we've marched in the Pride parades. But what we consistently have done is we have, again, talking about Tassos 3, we now have a kind of home base at the Flea Theater downtown. And we have a July theater spot every year on their calendar. So usually for Pride, we're in rehearsal. And I think that's the best way to show your pride. I always kind of feel like somebody asked me, what do y'all do for Pride? I want to go, well, we're a gay theater company, so every month is Pride Month. So that's just me being snarky. But those are our theatrical traditions, marching in Pride occasionally, definitely rehearsing. Pride for us will be a little different this year in that couple of things that we've done is we have joined with theater companies across America, Tiger Bear in LA. I'm forgetting the names right now because I'm a little bit nervous. Theater company in Chicago, et cetera. There's a playwright, Harrison Rivers, who we got a chance to do a reading of a play of last year, has a series of monologues. He's compiled them together into a program called Hold Me the Forgotten Way. And Tiger Bear reached out to a bunch of gay theaters across the country and asked if we would be if we'd like to participate in that. And I jumped on that. So I'm directing a piece called Moments in New York. And it's featuring Russell Jordan. It's going to drop on June 16th. So we will be releasing that specifically for Pride, but it'll be available, I think for 6 months after that. So, there's that. Tassos is launching their new website with a new logo and updated to include all the new stuff that we're doing, including the Playwright series. That's for June. And another thing that I've been working on with my Tassos compatriots, Jordan Schilkraut and Virginia Baeta, is the podcast Outlines, where we're taking historical gay plays, breaking them down into a social and historical context. I know that sounds super dry, but we also talk about our cats to break it up a little bit. I'm actually not kidding. And that first episode of that just dropped yesterday. So I will make sure that all this information is available to you, Sean, to put on your closing stuff. But we do have stuff going on. We still don't know. I mean, last Pride was essentially a virtual Pride. This one, I don't think we know what to expect. I do know that Tassos is not going to take our usual July slot because, you know, given our – we perform in a 50-seat theater, we're not really in a position to take that kind of monetary hit if we don't manage to sell. I mean, 30%, 33% of 50 seats is not very many people.
Right.
So we're not, I don't think we want to take the financial hit. And the plays that we've got coming up, we want more people to see rather than less. So it made sense to wait until everybody's more confident coming back than to do a show just for the sake of doing a show. And F you, COVID, here we are, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, so, and who knows, the line just keeps, with COVID, just keeps moving forwards and backwards and forwards. I mean, it's just, you just never know where you stand from one day to the next sometimes.
It's going to figure itself out, and it's a lot bigger than Mark Finley. So those are the decisions that we made in a general thing. I hate canceling shows. The one thing that we really missed, that we learned about what we missed about theater, was the audience. So I'm sure you guys can like, I agree 100% that we are chomping at the bit to get back. We just don't want to do it in a way that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think there's this thing about theater being embodied and like the audience always being the last part of this like weird ritual we've created to like share culture. Sure. That like when you take away the last element, it just feels like you're in rehearsals no matter what. It just feels like you're in perpetual rehearsal. So it's going to be nice to,
well,
you know,
and also it. You, a big part, just to speak to what you just talked about, a big part of what we do in this company is community building.
Right.
And that's so challenging when your community is invisible. You know, you can read their chat, but you can't, you know, hear them applaud or laugh. Oh my God. Doing comedy in the time of COVID is torture, you know? Mm-hmm. It works, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it's, I think you're being really, really smart though, Mark, with paying attention to your financial model. I just did a full series of episodes called Back to Places, which you can go and, you know, listen to after you listen to this episode, if you're listeners out there. And I interviewed a bunch of artistic directors and actors and acting teachers. And there is a very, very distinct, smart eye towards the budget. Because, I mean, like, if you're doing a Broadway show, they have to be careful as well. There's no way you can run even the cheapest Broadway show at a 30% house. It's just not, you're right. It will close a lot of people down. So being smart and metering how you do that. I know it sucks because, Arda, as you were saying, you know, you really, really want that audience connection. And that's what's missing so much. But we're just in.
I mean, I think there are other ways to cultivate audience for like theatrical stories online, but I think it is a real struggle to cultivate it for like theater. Like it doesn't feel like live theater because it's not. And like, so like either you have to like fully commit to that adaptation, which I don't think makes sense for everyone, or you just have to wait until we can actually do the thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it totally makes sense to wait until we can do the thing when it's healthy and not, you know, an apocalypse, like once we've come a little bit out of the apocalypse.
right. Just people get used to other people again.
Yeah. In one of my interviews, this is like probably my first interview with the series. I think it was the New York New Futurist. One of the people in their team said that day and that time is going to be mythic. It's just going to be like, did we ever think? And how did we, there's just so many questions surrounding it. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I'm vaccinated and I still have trust issues. They can tell me 100 times on TV, you're okay, you're fine. But in your mind, it's just ingrained.
I mean, I'm ever not going to wear a mask like in certain places ever again. Like I'm never getting on a train. I'm never getting on a plane. I don't want to say never because you shouldn't, but like right now, that's what I feel in my body. I'm like, in many places, I will be wearing a mask. I will be social distancing. I was in Florida for so much of the pandemic people would like stand really close to me and I would just like mean mug them over my mask. Like, just like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you doing this?
And frankly, it is healthier. I mean, I'm a teacher and there's that wave that comes through every semester where everybody gets sick. Mm-hmm. If you're wearing masks, that's just not going to happen. Right.
Yeah. The flu went way down this year.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah.
We'll see. As my mother would say, we'll see.
We'll see. A couple of days ago I was, feeling kind of Flemish and weak and that. And I told my husband, I was like, I don't feel good. I think maybe I have a cold. He's like, there's no way that you have a cold. No way. Where have you been?
It's also though, like, people will get colds now. Like, I've seen this, like, with my friends who are habitual overworkers, people will get colds and they'll be like, I have COVID. Even vaccinated people will be like, I have COVID. I have to go home. I have to isolate. I have to be around no one. And I'm like, I've seen you with full out like laryngitis, like pneumonia like systems. And just been like, I'm going to work. I have to go to work. I need to go. And now everyone's like, no, I must isolate. And so I think that helps too. Like, people are taking their health so much more seriously.
There needs to be some kind of middle ground, though.
Yeah, definitely a middle. There's got to be a medium.
Dennis, you're awfully quiet over there. What are your thoughts on our conversation?
Oh, I'm a quiet person in general.
Are you?
Yeah, especially in groups. I'm a listener. what specifically would you like me to respond to?
How are you feeling about theater as we slowly and very, very methodically come out of the COVID-19 pandemic? Are you like, we should go faster? It should be slower. Do you have concerns? Is there something that you like that's happened as a result of it?
I wouldn't say I'm really concerned about much because I think that it seems like people are being responsible. And so I think that the speed that things are going is good. I think it would be fun if it were faster because there is a sense of like, it's all happening so slowly that we're not even going to realize it's just one day. It'll be sort of back to full capacity and there will never have been like a big party or whatever. So, it would be more fun if it could just be like, today theater is open and we'll have a party and I'll go see the theater.
I'm kind of wondering if when the city opens on the 1st, if there'll be a bigger sense of that, but I absolutely hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I am seeing a play in person this week.
Ooh.
And it's sort of like hard to believe, just like you guys were saying, like you don't believe that you can not wear a mask. Like you still have that. I feel I've asked them, I've emailed them at least 3 times. Like we're actually in a theater. Like, yeah. And I said, the actors are there too. And like, there's other audience. And it's like, yeah, it's a real show in a theater. So that's a really exciting milestone.
And I would imagine that masks are required in the theater.
So they are doing it where you have to be vaccinated to go.
Oh, all vaccinated.
Masks are requested, but not required. But the vaccination is required.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's, again, smart. Let's be smart with our decisions going back. I know that like other continents are, they're just coming back full tilt boogie. Like, I interviewed a couple guys from Australia not too long ago and they say that they're kind of back, like they're doing full tilt boogie.
They also they got hit a lot less hard than we did.
They handled it better.
They handled it better. They have like different culture around all of this. And I think they're also a little more spread out. Like when I think about California and New York and how our response to it was fine, it's just that we why do so many people live in New York? Like, this is when you, this is when you realize there's too many people here. But like, you know, Sydney's not like that. Like Sydney is way more spread out. So yeah, I mean, like, great that we're back, but also it's just like, it's so different to be coming back in like New Zealand and Australia than it is to come here.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. And even that gives me a little pause. Even that, like, I'm a little concerned for them now. It's a whole mentality. I think I may have mentioned this to you, Mark, you know, at another time, but there's an actor named Telly Leung. He does a lot of Broadway work. And
he's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know him, but he did this. He said this quote that COVID-19 has taken a mental hit. Or put a mental hit on everyone. Like, everyone mentally has been hit with it in a way that we don't. We're probably still going to be analyzing 20 years from now.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's get back to Tassos and not Tosos. And I know that you touched on this a little bit, but talk about your future plans in a little more detail and what your season's like. Cement for me what it's actually called, if you will.
What the season is called?
Yeah, I mean, is there a name to it? I have, I jotted down Chelsea Chamber.
Okay, Chelsea Chambers, if y'all want to talk about that.
Okay.
But as for their performance series, mm-hmm. I talked to my executive director about this, and we're not finalized. The papers have not been signed yet.
Okay.
So I cannot tell you what we've got coming up. I can tell you that we are planning our next production for our January spot in 2022, which seems like a long time away, but it's going to be here. I mean, realistically, after the summer, we should be in pre-production for it.
Right.
So it's going to come up like an MF. So we, Mark Finley, we have slots every year at the Flea in January and kind of third week in January through first week in February. That's usually our general time. And then we do our second production at the Flea in like second week of July through the first week of August. A regular normal Tasso season starts with the July production. Then our next main stage is, it starts with the June production, starts with the January production. I knew if I would go, I would get it eventually. If it starts,
you're doing great. You're doing great.
Thank you. So starts in January with that production. Second production is July. We have a fundraiser, a gala fundraiser at the Norwood Club on 14th Street, usually in September, October. That's our only major fundraiser. So we do that annually to raise funds for the rest of the year. And then at the end of the year, in December, we have our free holiday party that's open to everybody. Those four events are a typical Tasso season. Now we have a fifth event, the Chesley Chambers Playwright Project, which I started a while ago, and it was kind of sporadically scheduled. Now these folks have taken it and made it an annual thing, which I'm really excited about. So that'll be threaded throughout these four events, piggybacked on some, promoted through all. And historically, although not all of the productions, but historically, it's kind of been where we get our ideas for our main stages. So it's really kind of the Tassos' life's blood. I think there's only a couple productions that we've done which didn't get a Chesley Chambers reading. But That's what we've definitely got. That's about as definite as I can get. Unless y'all want to talk titles for the next production, if you're in a position to do that. If you're not, then don't feel obligated to speak.
We don't have specific titles, but I can say that we're doing a new play in July. Throughout the rest of the year, there is going to be another play from a past decade. And we also are going to do a fun event in October. We're doing a spooky shorts event where it'll be an evening of new spooky plays.
How fun. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, someone sent us an email saying that they have a 10-minute play about a queer werewolf that they want us to read for this. And I don't think we're going to choose it. But I'm just like, this is what I'm living for these t-shirts. It's like things like queer werewolves. I cannot wait.
I'm very excited about that already.
that is like very much right up your alley.
Yes, it kind of is, yeah.
Well, now, Chesley Chambers, there's a slash in the middle. Is that two different people? Is that a... Talk about that. How do they come up with the name?
Do y'all want to take that or you want me to take that?
Mark, why don't you take it? You know more of the history about it than we do.
Okay. We had, the whole thing started when we had a theater rented for a production that we were doing. So we had extra time in the theater. So I was like, well, why don't we do a play reading series? Why don't we read plays that, we've always wanted to hear out loud? Why don't we bring in new stuff? And it caught on and it became a thing. Doric decided to make it a series and to name it after two of the seminal playwrights in the gay theater movement, Jane Chambers and Robert Chesley. So that's where the name came from. A couple of years back, we realized that we named the series for Jane Chambers and Robert Chesley, but we'd never done any of their plays in the series. So we opened that year with Jane Chambers' Blue Heaven. And the next reading we did was Robert Chesley's Jerker. So so that's where the name came from. They were Jane Chambers was the play that people know her most for is Last Summer at Bluefish Cove. That's the one that gets done over and over again. But there are a bunch of she's got a wealth of material, and it was fun really finding stuff to present for her. And interestingly, I didn't know this until we did the first reading of Last Summer at Bluefish Cove. The first production starred Jean Smart. That was her first like thing in New York City, and to see pictures of,
and who is on fire right now.
I know,
with her career.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine. And directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah, but if you think of it starting back there in the 70s and still being this amazing, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, she's really taking off. Well, not taking off. She's having this incredible resurgence.
And renaissance is the British
exact. Yes, it's definitely a renaissance. I feel like she's having like the second act that Kim Cattrall wishes that she going to have or will have. But there's just, I mean, she's just so great.
Yeah, love her.
Hats and Mayor of Eastwood, which I love that show. I'm just going to say, if you haven't watched that,
always great. She's great in Garden State. She's fantastic.
Oh yeah, everything she does, she's really good. I mean, she's just great. Now, our Diogenes are probably way too young to remember when watching the original first runs of Designing Woman, where she owned that show too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
be really honest. What is this, which one is Designing Women?
Like, ask your next question.
Okay, great.
It's okay. No, there was like,
okay, oh my God. So oh my God. Back
I feel
when,
like Michael Jackson does this thing sometimes where he takes clips of like shows from like long, because he's obsessed with white soap operas. I'm sorry, Michael Jackson, the writer of Strange Loop, not the singer.
Right.
Thank you for clarifying. I knew, but
yeah,
I was going to be honest.
Yeah, I'm like, I literally forget that they share a name because they're such distinct people in my head. And then but like, he's obsessed with soap operas, so he'll just share snippets. And I feel like there's like a snippet that he played from Designing Women.
Probably.
Somewhere.
Probably.
And that's like my only reference point. I do not think I've seen the show.
Yeah. So what it was.
Like back, Golden Girls?
Yeah. Back in the 80s, Golden Girls came on board and kind of started this whole thing. Then kind of on the heels of that, Designing Women is really more of a 90s thing, like a late 80s, 90s thing, isn't it? It probably debuted in the 80s, but I think Designing Women was already a thing. But it's, Golden Girls was already a thing.
Yeah.
Basically what it is, it's for women. It's about them. But rather than all being roommates in a retirement home, they all work for an interior design firm in a southern town, and I can't remember what town it is.
Atlanta?
That would make sense.
Yeah, it's in Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, and it's two of them are related, and the other two just work for the firm, but they're all really, really close friends.
So is there a random black guy in it?
Yep, yes.
Yes, I did see a clip of this, because they were like in New Orleans.
Yep.
He was saying yes. Weird things and okay, no.
Yeah, Meshach Taylor was the was the actor.
And so which one is she? Was she like
Meshach Taylor was a guy, he was their assistant.
Not Meshach, the actress you were talking about earlier.
Jean Smart.
The blonde.
Yeah.
She's the blonde and she was the office office manager, and she was one of the first of the original four to drop off, and then somebody came in and took her place.
And yeah, it was like Dixie Carter and Delta Burke were the two sisters. Annie Potts was a designer that worked with them, and Jean Smart was the office manager, and she was kind of like the, I wouldn't say ditzy, but I would say kind of would go off on tangents a lot. Delta Burke was the ex-beauty queen, and Dixie Carter was the matriarch kind of overlord, and Annie Potts was the mother, kind of wisecracking mother. I love that show, but it didn't have quite the shelf life as Golden Girls, because I don't think it's as campy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to watch it, it's on Hulu. And it's funny that you brought up that New Orleans episode. It's hugely famous. And my husband actually purchased off of eBay one of the original scripts of that particular episode. He loves it so much. I know. He's the things he does, I'll tell you. It's a good thing he's cute. Okay. Now, before you go and give us your social media information, I'm hoping that you'll just answer a question for me. I'm going to ask, what does gay pride mean to you? And if you could give me a 2 to 3 word to maybe a short paragraph answer, I'd really appreciate that. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll start with Mark.
Okay. Well, I gave you my smart ass answers earlier, so. I'll give you.
It's hard to tell.
It is kind of hard to tell. Like I said, group of lions. I did.
I did.
Past tense of wrenched. Like he pried the fork out of my hand. But what it really means for me, for real, is personal integrity. for me, that's gay pride. And that's not just for a month. That's every day. That's showing up and being who you are and not apologizing for it. Just owning your space as a gay person. That to me is gay pride.
Okay. All right, Dennis, we're going to go to you last so that you have time to think about it. Since you're shy. Okay. All right, Dai, what does gay pride mean to you?
Riots. It means riots. It means rioting. It means a full expression of this dissatisfaction with not being seen and not being heard and not, and also like there's like, it's a defiance too of like, you don't have to hear or recognize me for me to be here. I am here. I will continue to be here. And so there's like such defiance in rioting and in the rioting that, you know, inspired pride, that anytime I think of pride, I think of this riot of spirit. And I don't know, like, I think sometimes when people hear riots, they think like anger, which obviously it is, but there is also like a real, there's such freedom, I think, in rioting that it also feels joyful to me. Like the difference between a parade and a riot is usually legality. And so like I just feel.
And floats.
It floats. No, I mean, I feel like you could have floats at it. Like I just, there can be floats at a riot, but it's, you know, whether or not the police have signed your papers. Those are the biggest differences. So yeah.
Well, we definitely have roots in riots to claim our rights. So that's actually a very astute answer. Okay, Dennis, your turn.
Yeah, I love that answer. I think that for me, pride in a very personal level is acceptance and celebration of myself. And I just think about my long coming out process. And, for the first, maybe like 4 years of me being openly gay, I would have, and I'm from a very conservative religious upbringing. Even though I was out, if I had a magic wand and could have made myself straight, I would have used it. But then there was a turning point in my life where that changed, where even if I had the power to do that, I wouldn't, because I was proud of being gay and wanted to be gay and wanted to celebrate that part of myself. So that's pride for me.
Wow. Those are all great answers. I love those. Thank you for opening up and answering those and, you know, talking about your feelings that way. I very much appreciate it. Okay, so now it's time for you to give me your social media so everyone can find you and go learn about the series and who you are. So, Mark, why don't you take that, please?
Okay, so to find out all about Tosos, log on onto our website at www.tososnyc.org. That's tososnewyorkcity.org. Also, if you want to find out about, if you want to listen to the new podcast, Outlines, you can find that at www.outlinespod.com.
And we also, our Instagram is at TOSOSNYC as well, just
Thank
like
you.
The website.
Cool. Ardai, did you want to add anything to that?
Oh, I mean,
did they cover it all?
Yeah, that's all the Tassos.
Okay, well, there you go.
you can catch up with us also on Facebook.
Cool, very very cool.
Wrong, also Facebook.
Are we at the point now? We're just completely forgetting Facebook is there?
I spend all of my time on Facebook. I'm bad at knowing about where social media pages are.
Me too.
Well, thank you all so much for being on the show. I appreciate you being open with me and our audience. I appreciate so much the hard work that you're putting into finding newer works as well as unearthing older works and presenting that to us, that's just not easy to do. And it's amazing that you're doing it. And you're all just shining examples of pride in my book and in different ways. It's the way you've expressed yourself. It's just, this has been a really great show. And I want to, you know, again, thank you so much for being on your program as your ticket. I wish you all many, many broken legs as you continue to honor LGBTQ theater and really set forth its future, because that's what you're doing. So thank you very much, Tassos. You have all been amazing.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Well, folks, the 11 o'clock number has been sung and the bows have been taken, so it's time to lower the curtain. Once again, a big thanks to the team at The Other Side of Silence. I admire them hugely and am so honored to have them as part of the Your Program Is Your Ticket family. You can find more episodes of Your Program Is Your Ticket on the Broadway Podcast Network, who has honored me with a place on their incredible theater podcast platform. Broadway Podcast Network is all about creating an engaging, immersive, user-friendly experience where theater stories of all kinds can be easily found, shared, and enjoyed. Please visit them on my landing page at bpn.fm/ypiyt. Again, that's bpn.fm/ypiyt. Broadway Podcast Network also has an app, which you can and should download. Just go find it. Your Program Is Your Ticket is also on Facebook at facebook.com, Your Program Is Your Ticket. I'm on Twitter at Program Ticket, Instagram at Your Program Is Your Ticket, YouTube at Your Program Is Your Ticket. I'm also on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podbean, Pocket Casts, Deezer, TuneIn, Listen Notes, and the UK-based theater platform Thespian. FYI, I appreciate all good ratings, reviews, and subscriptions. Folks, take a little time to visit theater websites and see what they have to offer as we transition through and out of this pandemic. Watch their content, give them all great ratings and reviews, and most importantly, donate, donate, donate. They're all getting back on their feet, and it's the best way that you can help them. As always, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And remember, theater is for everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.